Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future, who have been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance to for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back Drew Stevenson. He's done a lot of stuff. He's an actor, he's a model, he's a musician. He's been in Vampire Diaries, and he's been in a whole bunch of movies, and he's got a lot of projects, and welcome back, Drew.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Just trying to make it.
Would you like to tell a little bit about how you became an actor? I mean, did you start when you were a little kid, or was it in school, or did somebody give you the inspiration?
It was funny. It was an elective that I took in college. I never really thought about it too much growing up. I used to love watching movies and everything, but I never really thought about it too much. I was involved in arts a lot. I was involved in music early. I was involved in playing the trumpet since I was 7 years old. And I started playing the piano when I was 13. And, you know, I started doing dance young, but I didn't really like dance too much. So I kind of strayed away from that. But so I've always been involved in arts, but I never did like acting until I took it as an elective in college. And I was trying to get extra credit. So I did an audition for a school play. And in that school play, I kind of did a theater play from a famous playwright, Cheryl West, a play called Before It Hits Home. And mm-hmm. I fell in love with just acting overall on stage, having those moments with the live audience where you're getting that, like, that feedback. You're hearing people laughing and some of them just kind of moving with you in a way through the story. And it's just a really enjoyable thing at that moment. But, you know, once you actually get something, once you actually start making money off of it, then it starts to become a thing of, you know, okay, well, I can do this for a living. So you start to pursue it a little differently. So I really started pursuing it professionally after that, started moving forward. And, it, you know, one thing led to another, one person, one connection, one friend, you know, everything just kind of moved in my favor for a lot of things.
That's really fun. I love live theater. I've done plays. I write plays. I think it's really, there's nothing like a live audience. It's like waves of love in a way.
Yep. I like it. Yeah. It's different. It's different. And what's funny and what's kind of fun about it is that it's never the same. You know, you'll have the same play perform three nights and it'll never be the exact same, done the exact same way, because you're having those moments that are just not recorded, you know, and you might have a different moment the next night. And depending on the actors too, you know, the actors might change the way that whole entire experience happens. So it's a really interesting, really intimate thing. I think live theater is, but TV and film is also kind of in its own way intimate and interesting as well.
I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, there's so many types of acting, and every single one, it's a different muscle of being an actor. Do you have one that you enjoy more?
You know, I enjoy theater probably the most. I end up doing a lot more TV and film, I guess, because of opportunity that's around me. It's not a lot of theater where I'm at in Atlanta, Georgia right now. I mean, there are theaters here. There's the Alliance. There are other theaters here in Atlanta, but for the most part, a lot of the opportunities that come through like an agency, usually would be, unless you have an agent that focuses on that, are going to be more TV and film and commercial auditions, maybe some voiceover, but very rarely is it going to be a theater audition.
That is interesting. Yeah, I know. It's weird because theaters, every actor I've ever talked to, I've really never talked to an actor who said that they didn't have any interest in theater. Even if they didn't come from theater, some people came from different things. Like some people came from music or some people came from film or TV or whatever. But once they st- on that stage, it's sort of like it hooks you into you. You fall in love with it.
And yeah, it's different.
I love that part of it. Don't
you? Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's very different.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, no, I said it's very different. It's a great experience.
You've done some really interesting and different parts. Do you have a method that you use to get into each character?
Not really. I do. So I've studied a couple methods to find different things within each method that I'm comfortable with. So I've studied Meisner, I've studied Chekhov, I've studied Stanislavski, I've studied, the Chubbuck technique, I've studied quite a few, and just, from each one took what it was that I enjoyed the most or that helped me become the better version of myself in that role. So I'd say if I had to pick one, it would be Chekhov, because I'm more of a visual person, and there's a lot of visualization in Chekhov, but Meisner does help a lot, because it's a lot of repetition, so that helps me memorize my scripts a lot faster. So I use different elements for different things.
Interesting. When you're working, have you done sitcoms and stuff like that? Because that's sort of a combination of television and theater. Have you done that? And would you do that?
I would do it. I haven't done it. I've done gone to New York a couple times and done some stuff with just Actors Connection, just trying to do like mock auditions and things of that nature, and done a lot of sitcom auditions for those types of companies up there, because a lot of sitcoms are kind of casting out of New York and maybe LA. I don't get a lot of that in Atlanta, so I have to travel out to get to it. But it's fun. I mean, it's a different form of acting. It's just a different tempo, and I think everybody has a different tempo. You know, Shonda Rhimes has a different tempo than most writers out there. She'll have actors running through their scripts super fast and running through their monologues very fast, where you don't really hear that. Some shows are all about it being natural, and everybody has a different flow. So, you never know.
Yeah, I do. I think that's true. You can see that. I mean, you can see that, like, I'm a big fan of The Orville, and that is like a completely different type of sci-fi show than, say, Star Trek, even though it is a nod to Star Trek. And I think every producer has their own vision, and that's the rhythm that they use. When you were doing The Vampire Diaries, did you have a focus, a rhythm that you used?
Nope. I'd say it was more, that show was all about being natural. That show was more about just really being as authentic as you possibly could, and maybe being a little dramatic in times to just give that contrast, but that was really it. There wasn't really much of a technique, I'd say, that I used for that, except just naturalism, just being as natural as you could.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it. No, it was cool. I mean, the experience was cool. It was very nice. It was different. So I was really only supposed to be on one episode, but they extended it after the first episode of working together, and my character got a chance to come back. So that was interesting, but my character couldn't live on. When I was given the opportunity to come back, I was given a lot more time to stay. And it was just, cool getting to know the cast, getting to know how they do what they do as well, and kind of learning from those, who have been here before and done this a lot. And it's just a cool experience overall, just being able to come to set often and, see the same people and interact with them and do this, entertain and enjoy it and just do it for a living, It's a great thing.
That's really cool. Have you met any fans of that show that saw you, and what did they think?
The funniest thing, it's so funny. So I had a 9-to-5 job. So I was working a 9-to-5 job around the time I got that. And around the time the show had aired, some of my coworkers saw me on that show at the same time, and you know, they just freaked out. They had no idea. They woke up the next day in the morning. They were like, "Was that you?" And you know, it was just different. So I became the man for a while, and I think there was a lot more people just at different, you know, different events, different networking events that remembered the show and, you know, asked, had a lot of questions, had a lot of, they, you know, everybody wants to go to set. So they're like, can I get this, can I go to set with you? Can I go to set with you? So it's it was cool. It was fun. So,
that is so
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did, I think it's really interesting. Have you gone to, I mean, not as an actor, but as just a regular person, have you ever gone to a convention, you know, science fiction or a fantasy convention?
No. I live in Atlanta, so I see all of it all the time, walking around Atlanta, just around the times when those come to town.
Yeah, there's a big one in Atlanta. I asked you. There's a huge one there.
Yeah. There's a few of them, yeah. I mean, I haven't personally gone out. I'm more of an introvert, so a lot of the things I do are going to be, like, more, I don't know, more around, like, nature, the things I do for fun, the things I do outside of work, at least. I'm very, like, meticulous and very particular on how I spend my time a lot of times because I try to do so many things. So there's not enough, so often enough I'll take time to do things to kind of relax and just, or stretch myself in a way. And I'll have to plan those things out. So I'll try to plan those things out to be more of like kayaking on the Chattahoochee River or things like, I don't know, just events and nights out. But yeah, I haven't quite made the time yet to go to one of those conventions yet.
The reason I'm asking is because, I mean, I'm sure someday you're going to be asked to go on a panel. And it's always
I'll
a good idea to stretch yourself and go before so you have an idea what fans are like. Get a little clue.
Yeah. I mean, it could be different, but I don't think it'll be bad. It won't be bad.
No, it won't
be
bad.
Okay.
But it's just
cool.
Different.
I can do it. Well, all right.
No, because
I'm here. Ready.
I went as a writer to a few conventions and also I was before that though I was a fan and I went to conventions, so I knew what basically a convention was like. The most terrifying thing I ever did was do a panel at Comic-Con. That was
oh wow.
Scary.
Why was it so terrifying?
It wasn't bad. Actually, it turned out great. It was really fun. But I built it up. What if I mess up? What if I do this? All these people. I mean, it was me. I was doing it to me. I gave myself a little head job because it was my panel. I planned it. I invited the other people on it. And there were some really wonderful people on my panel. And we were talking about something that meant a lot to me. And so on the way, I was just all I could think of was what if I mess up. But it actually, like, it was standing room only, and everybody had a good time, and I got a lot of compliments. But it was just terrifying to walk into it because I am basically shy. I hide behind the mask of being a writer, I guess, but I'm basically shy, so it was that I related to what you were saying about being an introvert.
yeah, but yeah, that's awesome though.
Yeah, I did it once. I don't know if I'll do it again ever, but I just have the experience.
Once is yeah, you did it, been there, done that.
Yep.
Awesome.
No, I mean, Comic-Con is a very, I grew up going to conventions with my friends and my dad who introduced, he went to conventions in the 40s, I mean, so I wasn't surprised about it, but Comic-Con is just really different, and I know there's New York Comic Con. I don't know if there's Atlanta one, but I know that they're all over the country. It's the only convention I've ever heard of that they have a red carpet. It's weird.
Wow. That's intense. That's what's up, though.
It's just so funny. I had a friend who was a known person, and I was standing back in the wings watching her at a red carpet outside a Comic-Con, and I'm like, this is really bizarre. They're having a red carpet at a fan convention.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I've ever seen one at. I mean, it's just so... I mean, that's because there's a lot of big, huge studio things that they do there, and I understand, but it's just weird to see as a fan.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's the amount of people I see in Atlanta sometimes riding around for this thing, it's almost no surprise to me at this point. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at anything. It kind of takes over the city when it comes.
I think, is it called Dragon Con?
Yeah, we have one event called Dragon Con that comes down here. We have a few that do come down here, but there's also an anime con that comes down here, like an anime convention that comes down here. But yeah,
those would be too, because animation's huge.
Oh yeah.
Would you take a part in an animated film, or have you already done one?
No, I've actually animated film, it would be an honor to do it. I would just have to talk through it more, I guess, to see what it's about, because as far as like what the script is about and what the story is about, that's going to pretty much be my one time to get a very kind of detailed view about that. So I'd have to kind of figure that out up front, but I would do it. I don't see why not.
What kind of character would you want to play in an animated film? Do you watch animated films? Do you like them?
Yeah, I love them. Man, if I could be a superhero, that would be pretty awesome. Something like a Green Lantern. Now, that would be...
that's cool art, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that would be pretty awesome.
I could hear your voice as the Green Lantern. Yeah, definitely.
Speak that positivity over my life. Thank you. Keep it coming. I'll take it. Yeah. No, that would be like dream come true for real.
That would be super cool. Yeah, I would. I could definitely see that. What was the other one? It's the Viking one. Oh. I mean, I know that they have live action stuff. I could see you as Thor.
Thor?
Your voice. Okay. Your voice is Thor.
Oh. I could, hey.
You, because it's animated. You don't see it.
The gates of Asgard. I will protect those gates of Asgard. If they ever called me, I would do it, Marvel. I hope you're listening. But yeah, no, it would be awesome. That would be.
Because you have that really strong voice, you know, like one of the gods.
Yeah.
It's just really fun. I mean, and just think, I mean, it's like doing a radio play. You could do anything doing animation. You could do any part. Isn't that a great thing? There's no... You can't be typecast because all they're hearing is your voice.
Right, exactly. No, so I just watched the animated Spider-Man series, or the animated Spider-Man movie. And that was pretty cool. Like, they pretty much, they based the character off of a real person, but they didn't, but it was, you could tell that the voice was just, to complement what was already kind of in motion. It was a really good, I thought it was a really good movie.
Cool. I just think it's really interesting. And how you build a character based solely on your voice, that is a superhero. That would be an interesting challenge, don't you think?
Yes, I would love for someone to take that challenge on, though, if they're interested. A superhero from a voice.
Yeah. Yeah. What would be your superpower if you had one?
Oh man. You know, I saw this, I forgot what it was called. I think it was called Push. I saw this movie, and I think I would want that, the ability to teleport from one place to another. It's between that and flying, but I'm really leaning towards that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Instantly going, you know, Tokyo, or instantly going to London, instantly going to L.A., instantly going back, you know, no traffic.
Yeah.
Come on.
Not like Harry Potter, where they had the flu powder, or the Apparaid. Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
You know?
Just go anywhere. You could go to the moon. You could go to another galaxy just in seconds. It's just a great idea.
Snap your finger. If you can see it, you can achieve it, literally.
Literally. I agree.
So, yeah.
I mean, if you grew up watching something like Bewitched, in your little mind, you might think that's possible because... Not really, but I mean, as a child, I'm not talking about as an adult, but as a child, you might think that that's possible because you're seeing these people you really like that look like normal people go from one place. You don't really understand what they're doing. And all you see, though,
yeah,
is them snapping their fingers and going from place to place, like Paris.
Yeah. Bewitched was, I actually grew up on that show, Bewitched, and Nick at Night, that whole series, that was, those were my, like, my jams, Nick at Night, and then, what was it that came on before that? It was, TGIF, I think it was, TGIF.
What was it?
Yeah, was it TGIF? It was, like, the late night, it was, like, the Friday... It was like the Friday singles that came on, so it was like Full House, Step by Step. Yeah, it was all of those shows on Friday nights, and then Bewitched. Then like I can't remember the other. It was I Dream of Jeannie. It was a lot of those Nick shows, Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, and it's really funny because if you think about it, when I was growing up, I'm older than you. Bewitched and Jeannie were pretty much the same channel and back-to-back, so it was a pretty magical time if you were a kid watching sitcoms.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an early
start.
Either
you were so many keys in the bottle or do whatever you want.
You know? Yeah, they're kind of innovators, man. It was a lot of interesting TV at that time, and then, like, TV transformed, and it, like, transformed into, like, because, you know, like, the next phase of TV after that was more, they had a lot of, like, fitness competition, more like what they're doing now with the whole, like, Ninja Warrior stuff. And then they had, like, a whole lot of reality TV that came in not too long after that. And then it just kind of transformed. So TV has a lot of, and then it's, like, streaming services changed the industry a lot, you know. So TV's just had a lot of, like, transformations over the years, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the only thing is I wish that reality TV didn't come over. It's, like, it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's so quiet in it. I'm not talking about the competition shows. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the so-called reality shows, like The Housewives and stuff, because they're not, it's, like, grown women and grown men do not act like children all the time. that's the way they seem to be in these shows.
Well, you got to blame Survivor for being the one that was successful and setting the way for all the other reality shows.
Yeah,
Survivor
I know.
Did it.
I'm not a big fan of the show either. Sorry,
yeah,
a fan Survivor. I'm just not, I just don't get it.
Yeah, Hey, you're honest, you know. We appreciate that. Difference of opinion is respected and appreciated, you know. But, you know, I'm not, I mean, me personally, you know, I think that they all have a place, and I think that everyone enjoys different things. So, me personally, I don't watch either. I don't watch those shows. I don't really watch any of those reality shows. But, you know, I can see how some people could want to. Even in my auditions, though, I see a change. I see, like, auditions more for, if I'm auditioning for films, it's more for Netflix versus, like, TV. Then it'll be for more of a network. So I don't audition for a lot of, I audition for more films now than TV, it seems like, for a lot more reasons, like reality shows taking over TV. Because I think there's just a lot more reality TV out there.
Yeah, I noticed that. Amazon, Netflix, Prime, iTunes,
yep.
We all have these series. Even iTunes, I never really thought iTunes would have series, but they have series too. It's just, it's all good stuff is stuff that are downloading that aren't part of regular television. And you just, and even when it is part of regular television, it's not actually part of regular television like the Discovery is like, what do they call it, CBS Prime? It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I guess all auditions are now for those things, right?
Not all. I mean, there are your auditions for, you know, HBO and network television, but like there are some that are going to come in for USA Network. There are some that are going to come in for the CW in Atlanta, New York and such. It's going to be, you're going to have your, or LA, you're going to have more of your CBS. You're still going to have your auditions, but your majority, it feels like, is going to start shifting to Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix. Because I'm seeing that more myself, and it just feels like that's kind of the shift. Because I'm seeing it more for films than TV, but it's also TV. So it's interesting. It's an interesting kind of shift.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. It's just this interesting flow. And it's sort of like the ocean. It goes in and it goes out and it goes in and it goes out. But it's never totally out. It just floats.
Mm-hmm. It's a hurry up and wait industry. You got to hurry up and be prepared and then wait. You know.
Well,
and
that's
then you'll move a bit.
That's all of show business, hurry up and wait. That's commercial theater, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure is. But
do you have any shows that are coming up that you want to let everybody know about?
Not coming up. Just working hard towards getting those. Working on writing at this point in time, writing my own content, and just really focusing on the craft at this point, for real. Been auditioning a lot, and I've been having callbacks, but just waiting on that opportunity.
What was your favorite project that you've done in the last, since you became an actor? What if you were going to put two or three things up that you want people to watch to get to know you, what would be those three things?
To get to know me?
Well, know how good an actor you are.
To get to know how I can act. I have so much content that I'm going to put out soon. That would really showcase me better. But I think if you wanted to get to know me and just look at something online, you can go to the Empire Diet. You can go to my website. It's drewstevenson.com and look at my demo reel. Or instead of going to itsdrewstevenson.com, you can go to you can kind of Google YouTube and look at the Vampire Diaries. Those episodes will kind of display what I can do in acting more than anything else. You can look up season six, episode 12 and 13 of the Vampire Diaries, or you can on Netflix right now. It's also on Amazon Prime. You can look up Truth or Double Dare. That's also on Amazon Prime. You can look up, I think, Born Again Virgin, and that one's a good one to also kind of get to know a different side of me. And that one should be on TV1's website. But I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think I'm on season one, episode 23 of that series. But again, I'm pushing on. I'm actually working on five monologues from five respectable plays. And I'm working on releasing that content to kind of showcase what I'm capable of. It's sort of like just variations of things. Like Before Hits Home by Cheryl West, I'm performing a monologue from that. Then there's going to be like August Wilson, Two Trains Running. There's going to be Promedy, The Role of Dante. Then there'll be more plays of that nature, and just kind of releasing those on YouTube very soon, and I'll release them on my website, drewstevenson.com.
Could you say your website a little slower so people can write it down? Because you said it really fast every time, so a little bit
fast.
Slower.
Too fast. All right. It's ITS Drew, Drew Stevenson with a PH. That's STEPHENSON.com. And that website is going to be updated with new content very soon. I'm releasing five monologues that I will be releasing on that website very soon. In addition to that, it's where you can currently see my video of me performing in these shows, The Vampire Diaries. You can see clips of me performing in the Born Again Virgin series and also in this show called Complications. You can keep in touch with me on Instagram at I am Drew Stevenson. That is I am Drew Stevenson. I'm on Instagram, and that's where I'm most active. But, hit me up. I follow back.
That's cool. And you said you were working on some – are you writing a film, or is it – you said you were working on something, a project. I don't want to give away anything you want to give away, but can you give us an idea what it is?
Give away the secret. All the secrets?
No,
I'm working on writing it. No, I won't give them too much. But I'm working on writing a short film, and short film is just basically going to be based around, it's going to be more of a good and evil type of short film, and that's kind of a project to not only help me understand better what a film is from the back end of things, like writing a project, getting a project funded, understanding how to push that project forward, market that project, but just in writing itself, the structure of how a movie is made, then understanding, like, when you get a script and that script says page 36 or page 45, they're in act two. And that means that they're going through a different set of events than if they're in act one. If you get a script from, page five, then they're just setting up the scene. They're setting up the entire film versus their script, a page from page like 90. Then okay, we're in like act three, and we're getting close to act three, and we're about to start like really going into different things. So it really just helps me become a better actor overall. So it's kind of fun and it's kind of educational. It's just helping me learn more, more than anything. But I'm having fun doing it, and I think it's producing something that I can be fruitful with, something that I can actually market and push forward and see where it goes,
I remember when I took a acting class in college, and it was film acting, and they were showing us how in the first, I guess, 3 or 4 minutes of the movie, it pretty much tells you everything you need to know. And I was like, no way, when she said it. And then they showed it, and she was giving a breakdown bit by bit. And I was like, oh, my God, it really does, because I knew the movie before she showed it. But I never really – you don't realize that they're projecting stuff at you to give you an idea of characters really quickly, even if it's just a bunch of stills or whatever way they're doing it. It's actually projecting almost the entire film for you before you see the film. And I never knew they did that until that class. It's such a weird thing, though, when you realize.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's like, because now, like, you go back and you watch films, and you can't even look at them the same, you know?
No.
Man.
No. Yeah, it's really strange. One of the ones that she said was Working Girl. And she was like, okay, look at her smile. You can see that she's actually just, there's no light behind those eyes. You can tell in that first scene. And you can tell that he's really cool because of the way he's moving. And I'm like, I've seen Working Girl like, I don't know how many times before I took the class. I was like, it blows your mind when you realize all the structure that goes into those first minutes of the characters that you would never think that was there.
Yeah. That opening image, yeah, they thought it through. They thought it through. And it's the more like so, like those examples and some of those shows, like they thought about it more than others. You know, like reality shows don't really think about it like that. But like
No.
when you're talking about like TV drama, TV series, and like certain and you're talking about you know, certain movies, certain films, they've really put so much time and effort into that that it creates so much of a ride for the what for the audience, you know?
That
It creates
opening
a
teaser,
very
if you're watching a TV show, and it kind of ruins it sometimes because I can see what's going to happen. I still
yeah.
watch it. Just saying, once you learn it, you can't unlearn it. You can't even put it on a suspension. It's there in your head. But sometimes in the opening teaser, they show so much of what the content of that episode or what their intent of that episode. It's like, oh no, oh dear.
Yeah. It's like he's not gonna make it. He's not gonna make it.
I know, and you're just—it's just weird. Like I said, you cannot. Once you learn it, you cannot suspend it in your head. You can't like stop it from being there. You see it. You can't help it. Because
Yeah,
sometimes I'd like to have
absolutely.
like a little switch that I can turn it off. Just enjoy the movie or TV show.
Yeah. Just kind of forget the whole everything you know about TV and film structure for a minute. Just 1 minute. But
So I can enjoy.
you know, just for this movie. Then give it back though. But just for this movie. Yeah, that would be awesome. But we've been blessed and cursed at the same time with these powers to create content, you know, it's a blessing, but it's also a curse. They don't know it. They just don't know that we live with it.
If you're a writer of any kind of writer, whether it's a book, a movie, a TV show, they're all different muscles, and it's just like different kind of forms of the acting. But there's stuff that are projected in a book that very early on, and there are times that I don't catch it, even though I write. And once you realize it, you're like, oh my God. And you go back, oh yeah, there it is, right there. It's projected. Oh my God.
The whole time. The whole time.
It's
They're
really
telling
good
it
when they
the whole time.
fool you like that. Because then you don't have to, like that, I was saying that there was a switch for stuff that you could turn it off. If the writer is good enough, they can do it there so you can see it. And yet, when you're actually reading it, it's so buried that you don't really notice it.
It's interesting.
You know who's really
Interesting
good at
thought.
that? Jo Rawlings, J.K.
Really?
Rowling. In Harry Potter books, she did that quite a bit. She's really good at that.
She buries it right in front of you. And you see it, but you don't realize that you've seen it.
I don't want to give. I mean, I'm sure there are people who've. Everybody's seen Harry Potter, but like, I'm not going to give away too much. But like Ron's rat, there's a perfect example. If you saw the
Right.
Harry
I see.
Potter movie,
See, I've seen them, but I don't know what you mean.
What you find out later that Ron's rat is?
See, now I've got to go back and brush up on it.
Who Ron's rat really is? Anyway, reread the book.
See, that's the thing. I haven't watched the movies. I've got my work cut out for me. I've got my homework. Gotta get on it. Gotta get on it.
We're coming to the end of the show. I just wanted to give you a chance to give your, I know you did already, but just so people can know what social media and how they can get into, are you on Facebook, Twitter? I think you said Instagram, but could you repeat that one too?
Yeah. Instagram is probably where I'm most active. I am Drew Stevenson. That's I am Drew, Drew Stevenson with a PH. Stephenson. You can also reach me on my website. It's drewstevenson.com, spelled the same way. Outside of that, you can pretty much just find my content on my website. It's drewstevenson.com and through YouTube, just or you can go on Netflix or Amazon Prime. You can see Todd, Truth or Double Dare, directed by Shaquita on Amazon Prime. You can also see Vampire Diaries on Amazon Prime. You can also see Vampire Diaries on Netflix, Season 6, Episodes 12 and 13. And you can also check out, I think Complications is on there. I'm not 100% sure if it is, but, you know, Born Again Version on TV One. And, you know, God bless you, and I appreciate you for tuning in and sharing this time with us.
And thank you for coming on and chatting with me. And I love Todd. I saw that. It's really fun. It was a good show. She did a great job. You guys all were wonderful in it.
Yeah, we did. We enjoyed ourselves. Just took it upon ourselves to create something and get it out there and do the best we could with it. You know, so.
It was really good. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.